I'm going to bring on Myra to join us. Hey there, Myra.
Hello, hello. Nice to see you.
My goodness, this is a full day of .NET Conf. I've Guido and Don talking to each other, teaching about F Sharp. What I feel just thrilled to see that, and I can't wait to see the rest of it.
That was so fun to watch. But we have to continue the show, right?
We do. So I will hand it off to you, and so you can bring on Gina, and I'll catch you later. Thanks so much.
All right. All right. So let's bring our next guest, Gina Marie Maney, and I hope I'm saying her her last name correctly. And she's going to talk to us about how to stop FUD and stay safe. And so it's a cool play on words and acronyms there. So welcome, Gina.
Hi, thank you for having me. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Great.
Did I say your last name correctly?
Very close. It's like Maini rhymes with linguini. Yep.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's like my first name is Maida, so Maini. So like
there you go.
Yeah. All right. I hear you're going to be talking about web development with F Sharp for us.
Yes, I will be. And I'm going to share my screen, I guess, and get my PowerPoint up. Okay. All right. Awesome. Thank you so much for introducing me and having me today.
Yeah. So take it away.
Okay. Thank you. Hi, everybody. I'm so happy to be talking to you today. Very excited. I'm so sorry I had to take over from Don and Guido. Very tough act to follow. Really enjoyed watching that presentation. And like I said on Twitter, it was really, really incredible to see someone so fundamental to Python using the type system in his tooltips to be a flashlight in the dark. I found that really personally very reaffirming as an F-sharp programmer that what we're doing here is really special. Thank you also to Philip Carter for inviting me to speak to this and telling me about this great event. So excited to be here. So the title of my talk is How I Learned to Stop FUD and Stay Safe. Little play on acronyms, but I'm coming from the government, so of course I'm going to hit you with some acronyms. But I know as anyone who's done web development, fear, uncertainty, and doubt probably plague you quite a bit when it comes to which stack do you choose. Do you stay up to date with front-end technology, which moves very quickly? You want to, right? You want to use the latest and greatest, but also it's really hard to manage this tool ecosystem. It's very complicated. Like I said, a lot of fear, uncertainty, and doubt. So today it's just going to be a talk briefly from developer to developer about some technologies that I'm really excited about and really why I like to use them for prototypes in basically any circumstance. So a little bit about me. I'm self-taught. I really think of myself as a site reliability engineer and functional programmer second, I would say. Showing my cards on the table, I did have a short stint on the F-Sharp Software Foundation board, really, really amazing community. And that was a really fun thing to be a part of. But basically, I've used F-Sharp in production to build real world scenarios, both for backend data pipelining and also, you know, bread and butter web development. And I've been in NYC startups for years, doing node stacks and all different types of stacks. And in my free time, I hack on a project called Open Transplant, which I'm really passionate about, which is doing organ transplantation and doing matching algorithms for that. My day job, I work at United States Digital Service, which is an amazing agency inside of the Office of Management and Budget. So really happy to be here with you and talk about something I'm so passionate about, which is F-Sharp.
Gina, before you continue, can you just go full screen with your slides?
Yeah. Okay, let me try to share again.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep, no problem. It's live. Let me just do entire screen. We're gonna go big here. Does this work okay? You can see fine? Assuming silence is good. All right. So going back a little bit, stuff about me, already covered it. And now let's talk about the cool stuff. Like, what's my experience and what stacks have I worked in? I've done everything from making a component library and Java servlet pages. I know some of you are probably laughing at that one. To jQuery UI. I remember using CoffeeScript when that was really big. I don't know if anyone remembers CoffeeScript. I've done Angular and Node stacks. I've used Ruby on Rails. Some of my favorite ones were using an OCaml functional reactive programming library with XML. That was really interesting way to do web development. But my favorite has to be using something called Giraffe, which I'll show you some code later, some web code for Giraffe, and ASP.NET Core. I found that stack really, really fun. And it was a really great springboard for me to get into using Safe and SafeStack. So some common issues I found doing web development have to be, you know, any tool you pick, there's trade-offs. If you go with something that is server-side rendering and it's completely outside of the JavaScript ecosystem, you're really missing out on the JavaScript ecosystem. If you go with something like TypeScript where you have gradual typing, you sort of have to maintain that map or the annotation files, which, you know, if the annotation files are well supported, pretty straightforward and easy. But if they're not, then, you know, it's kind of hard and difficult to manage that. Some of the other problems I had would be that, you know, the developer experience was a little tricky. So you might be working with like three or four different pieces of technology that all kind of have to go together with the build system. And so your build system ends up being kind of a Frankenstein. And it's unclear, you know, kind of reflecting on web development for a moment. A lot of times the developer is not really thought of very clearly. And I would say that, you know, the web stacks that we use today largely reflect roles and not domains. You know, we think about domain-driven design and how we like to build and craft web experiences. They don't really consider a full stack developer, which is becoming probably the most common web role out there. It's interesting how we just expect that these roles like front-end developer, even UX might be coding and shipping code, is so dissimilar from the back end. But in reality, those roles are starting to merge. I mean, you see that with the popularity of Node.js. And so I think there needs to be another thought to developer experience in web, and also why I'm so excited to talk to you about Safe. So let's do a quick aside on F#. So you've been hearing a lot about F# today. Maybe you've played around with F#. Maybe you haven't. And I just want to say this is a great place to get to know about F#, ask questions on Twitter, and meet some of the great people in the community. One thing that I really love to think about with F# is the robust performance of F#. So F# was my first .NET language. I know that's like probably surprising to some people, but I found that actually the functional paradigm of immutable data was actually really, really performant. And another thing that, you know, I think has a lot of real benefits in terms of performance is the fact that generational garbage collections in .NET, right? When we think about how F# code is generally structured, the immutable data in let bindings that can be easily collected in Gen 0, Gen 1 cycles, that's going to give you great performance. But these long object hierarchies with a lot of references in between them, that is actually going to slow the GC down significantly. And I found that F# was a great paradigm for really performant code. The other thing that I really liked about working in .NET and F# was the amazing decompilers and performance profilers. So, you know, the great thing about F#, if you're coming from another .NET language, is all of those great tools come right along for the ride. So I used them with F# first and had really good experiences optimizing my code. The other thing I really love about F# is how high level it is and how concise it is. I think, you know, as you become more and more senior in your career, you'll start to realize that every line of code is basically a liability. It has to be maintained. It has to be well documented. I think what's great about F Sharp is it's expressive, but it's also, I write less code. It's very readable. You know, we had Guido talking about Python with Don today. You know, it's also white space sensitive. You know, so when you're reading that code, you're really seeing just the bare minimum of what you need to see. I also think what's worth mentioning is this thing called builders in F Sharp, or computation expressions. I'm just going to call them builders for right now because I think that's an easier way to talk about them. But basically, it's a way that you can define a real quick class with a couple select methods, and you can create these wonderful syntax that I'm going to show you in a bit, where you've seen this curly bracket syntax. And it's basically like a workload, a generic way to define certain types of workloads. Some standard workloads that are going to come with F Sharp are async, task, and sec. So it's really, really great. And I'll show you in a bit some Saturn builders that are really cool. And yeah, just fundamentally, you know, make your compiler work for you. You know, it was really great to see in the earlier talk, really seeing Guido use the type system like a flashlight in the dark. You know, if you remove, let's say I've got a type here, this is a very silly type, but type presentation, it could be engaging or it could be trash, right? Well, if I wrote a function that would, you know, match on that type, and I only considered that my presentation could be engaging, the compiler would warn me and say, hey, Gina, you need to remember that your presentation could be trash. That just makes refactoring code so much simpler. I don't have to worry about if I didn't consider a case in my code. I'm getting that for free. And lastly, I just want to say, you know, maybe a benefit we don't often think about is the really nice people in this ecosystem. F Sharp has a much smaller community than a lot of other languages. And what I love about this community is how laser focused they are on developer experience. We heard from Isaac earlier today about SafeStack, and he showed the Safe template, which I'm going to show later. And I just loved how focused everyone from Compositional IT was and is focused on really, really making the full stack developer experience great. And I think that's what's so wonderful is how willing everyone is to help you on the F Sharp Foundation Slack, you know, how willing your friends are on Twitter to respond, hey, I've got this weird bug, I don't understand this error message. And they're so willing to jump in and help. So it's a smaller community, but much focused on high quality. So here's a great example of a continuation pattern in F Sharp, something that I might have written in my giraffe F Sharp web code back in the day. An HTTP handler. Now, if you're coming from like Node.js, or maybe you've worked in like XHR objects, or you know, any kind of continuation, this should look kind of familiar to you, or at least parsable. We've got a function that takes two things. It takes a context, HTTP context, that your function's running in, and it takes the next function that you're going to transition to. And here we can see a task builder where I define everything, including all the work that this function's going to do inside of that task. So really simple syntax here, just a function, just taking two arguments, returning an HTTP handler. Pretty simple stuff. So now let's segue into SafeStack, what we're all here to talk about. So SafeStack is Saturn, Azure, Fable, and Elmish. Now, that being said, there's some different variations of how much of that stack you want to use. And I would encourage you to check out their documentation, which is amazing and very extensive. And, you know, if you don't read documentation, because let's be honest, we're all developers here, we just like to code quickly and figure it out later. There's so much example code. And what's great is you still have the type system and the great editor tooling, right? So you can tooltip and figure out, you know, like maybe I don't remember all of the things that React does, but okay, I've got FOMA, so I can figure out, you know, what stuff is available to me. So here's some great code from the Saturn docs that I really liked. And Saturn is a MVC, you know, server-side design pattern. So if you've used like Ruby on Rails or Django in Python, you know, this should be pretty familiar model view controller. And it's heavily inspired by Elixir's Phoenix, which is pretty cool. Another really cool project. And here I've got some sample code from the docs where I'm using two different builders. We've got a pipeline, which is for combining and working with HTTP handlers, just like the functions I showed you earlier. And we've also got a router builder as well, which is going to create our router for our API. So here we're creating our API pipeline. Okay, it takes JSON and we're setting a header. So a really great question that came up earlier when Isaac was talking, at least on Twitter, was how do I do authentication or an OAuth workflow? You know, a great way to do that would be doing a pipeline would be a great way to do that, where you're decorating your header with cookies, maybe you're signing cookies at an HTTP handler, and easily reincorporating that and making that composable. You could even incorporate that and open it up into your shared code in your organization. That might be a great way to handle standardization around, you know, authentication. And here we set up our API router where we pipe it through our pipeline. We add a not found handler, which I love the way this, it almost looks like a little DSL. You've got this little arrow combination. And remember, don't get too afraid by these little combinators or these little functions. Because remember, in your editor, you can always hover over this stuff and see exactly what its input is and exactly what its output is. So here I'm setting a status code, 404. And what are we going to do? We're going to return some text, API 404. Pretty simple. And eventually we forward it to slash some API and we pass in a controller or a scope. Really simple code. What I love about this is how much we do in just a few lines. So Azure, I'm not gonna talk a lot about this. You're at a .NET conference, you know what Azure is. But yeah, you can use Azure and Safe very easily. And this is pulled straight from the Safe documentation, but here's kind of a high level, you know, how the app would look. And we'll get into the front end in a moment, but just to show you, this is what it would look like with your Azure backend. So you could integrate perfectly well with the rest of the Azure databases or service buses, very simple stuff to do there. But also it's worth pointing out, you know, this works everywhere because anywhere with Docker technology, there's tons of really good examples on the compositional IT repository and organization for you to look through. We saw the Safe Search app from Isaac earlier this morning. And, you know, there's tons of different little applications and deployment configurations that they have on there. So let's talk about Fable, really, really cool project. So Fable is how you take your F# code and turn it into JavaScript. So, you know, working with a large JavaScript code base is a nightmare. I don't think that's a controversial statement, but, you know, it really is very difficult. And in 2021, I'm here to tell you, you can stop writing your code base in JavaScript. It's okay. It's really hard to do this context switching from JavaScript to your backend code. You know, I don't care who you are, it's mental overload. And especially, like I said, for a full stack development experience, I'm not sure why you need to write your code base in JavaScript. Actually, I find a lot of benefit in a strongly typed workspace because I can figure out and wrap the JavaScript code base in a way that's meaningful to me. But at the same time, I'm avoiding the issues that I had in other frameworks. You know, there's a lot of them that come to mind. JS of OCaml, I have this issue in, you know, BuckleScript is a project worth mentioning where you transpile to, you know, OCaml modules to JavaScript modules, but it kind of bears the question, like, who even needs that? Do you modify the JavaScript modules? Who on the dev team does that benefit? you know, it doesn't seem to be that coherent. But what I like about Fable is you're still producing NPM. It's still like calling Node. So you're still benefiting from, I'll show you in a bit, but the front end debugging tooling, which for me is the real make or break why I'm going to use something, is it's generating and well thought out and mapped really thoughtfully. So you get date time and math and all the important JavaScript utilities and mappings that you need. And most of F# core is mapped. The stuff that isn't mapped is thoughtfully done. So I think that's a real importance that they consider the differentiation runtime. So there's less shooting yourself in the foot than if, you know, if you just kind of use something else. So Elmish, really cool project. It's Elm-like, and we'll get into that in a bit. But the idea of sending commands is basically the major paradigm. And you also build kind of a little state machine. There's really no other way to put it. And it's outputting as a view React or React Native. You know, I don't have to sell you that React.js is one of the most important front-end libraries in JavaScript web development today. It just is. The ecosystem is massive, and it's really not going anywhere. So I think, you know, the fact that Elmish is right there for you, and it's all F#, is huge. I also want to call out the Thoth project. So as, you know, I work in government, so when I go to make prototypes, a lot of times it's just forms. You know, the government basically runs on forms and paper forms. So when you're digitizing forms, you know, your Elmish code might start to be kind of big. And I noticed that this Elmish project, Thoth, had some really cool stuff in there. And I just wanted to give them a shout out because, again, it comes back to the amazing F# community providing really great tools. Okay, so now I'm going to run a demo of basically installing everything for you. So here we go. We're going to pull open my terminal. All right, so we're just going to start from the beginning, right? There's no magic here. There's no, you know, no like hidden stuff. I'm going to show you exactly how it works start to finish. So when you're installing templates, right, there's a couple different things you can do. First, you should see what templates you have on your system. And if you're new to the .NET CLI for whatever reason, they've done a lot of really great work in here, and I love using this. I'm also using my Windows subsystem for Linux, which I love working in. And I love the, we were talking earlier on Twitter about our favorite VS Code extensions. I should probably throw in WSL as a favorite. But here I see I already have Safe installed on my system. Now, if I didn't have that installed, all I would have to do is, you know, do this and put the dash I flag to install it for the first time. But since it's already there, we'll just run it. And if I didn't know, like, let's say I didn't know if it was Safe or if the language was like somehow different in the keyword, I would just put a flag in for searching and then it would show me, ah, it found it, .NET Safe. But since I've already got it installed, let's go ahead and just make a new, wow, that was fast. Okay, so let's kind of like move up a little bit here. So we've got all of this stuff in here. You know, I'm coming to this, maybe I don't know anything about Safe Stack, so I'm looking around, okay, I don't really know what to do. So let's just go ahead and open it in code. Okay, pulling it open here. Oh, and I guess I've got my README open. Okay, that looks pretty good. Let's see, what do I need to get going here? Well, I need, let's see. Oh, I need Node, okay. Okay, I've got Node. Let me check, do I have NPM? I've got NPM. Okay, it sounds like I might be ready. Okay, let's try to do this. Now, what's next? I do .NET Tool Restore, okay. Let me just run it. Oh, what did it do? Okay, so it restored something called packet, okay. Glad I don't have to work with packet directly maybe, or maybe I don't know what these tools are, but okay, I did something that looked important. Okay, cool, so let me just try running .NET run. Huh, Okay. So it's doing something with NPM. Okay. So it looks like it's running NPM and it's generating my my NPM dependencies here. Okay. Pretty exciting. I don't really like working with NPM, so I'm glad I don't have to do anything with NPM. I'm glad that's programmatic. Oh, look, and I've got tests here. We'll look at those in a moment. Okay, wait, it's parsing an FS proj. Okay, interesting. So just like I would expect in my, you know, C-sharp solutions, or I'm still using an example solution. So it's still using solution files. It's still basically doing all of the same .NET stuff I would expect. And let's see, we've got a couple different projects here. We've got client, server, and shared. Okay, interesting. Okay, it's calling Webpack. Oh man, I don't know if anybody's worked with JavaScript web tooling, but my goodness, I'm glad I don't have to call Webpack or handle Webpack. Well, it says it compiled successfully. I don't know, let's try to see. Okay, control click. Huh, wow, okay, so I've got my save template. Goodness, that was 2 minutes, 3 minutes? And we've got a website. I mean, this is sort of what you saw this morning, but what I wanna show you as well is, oh my goodness, we've got our JavaScript debugging tooling. So let me go ahead and push that to the side of the page here. And I've got two events here in my inspector, init and got to do's, huh? Okay, let me look at the raw events here. Interesting. Let's play around a little bit. Test. Oh, wait, a bunch of stuff happened. Let's see if I can't make this a little bigger. Ooh, look at that. That's a little bit better. That looks good. I bet that's a lot easier to see. So here we've got a couple different events, set input. Huh, and that's happening. Look at this. I can use my JavaScript tooling to actually roll back and see, oh, look at that. I even have my charts here to tell me the state, right? So this is when I say, you know, when you want to use the JavaScript ecosystem, but you don't want to directly interact with it, this is the benefit. I'm still doing my debugging in React extension, right? It's still React at the end of the day. So I can still use these great tools, but I don't really have to interact with them. Okay, added to do. Wow, really easy stuff. So what I like about this is immediately out of the box, I get a workflow that basically I can tweak to do anything I want. I mean, it's an MVC app. And here it's just F# project files. So if I look in shared, iToDo's API, this looks like an interface. Huh, easy, really, really nice. And of course here, this is actually just, you know, font ligatures, which I shared on Twitter, are these great Fira code extensions for Visual Studio, where you just change the text editor language. But you know, really cool stuff, I think makes it look really pretty. Let me check out the only important files it seems like I might need. So let's go to the files on disk. We'll jump over to client, head to index.fs. Okay, this sounds like the index page I'm on, maybe. Okay, cool, we've got an init function. Okay, well, let me see, let me try to change something really quick. So if I change this and I say, I don't know, maybe let's start with like, hello from init. Oh, wow. So it recomputes. Huh. Wow, that was simple. So my F# code immediately hot reloaded. That's great. And now I can see all of this really cool, easy content. Like, I've got all of this really cool React stuff in here. I've got a little state machine here where I've got my entire state represented. And I don't need to know anything other than what the state machine will tell me in here. So this state machine here is immediately shown in my React tooling. So I'm really, again, getting the best of both worlds. And I'm basically at time for this presentation. So I'm going to stop now. But
I was about to come. I was waiting, didn't want to interrupt, but we are at time. Thank you so much. So much information to unpack on this session. We are going to have to move on. So we have one question on Twitter that you can go and answer offline. But thank you so much.